Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Mark Hamrick, Washington Bureau Chief and Senior Economic Analyst for Bankrate.com. Mark, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me, Newell.
Mark, investors are always looking at what folks are saying, especially policymakers and, more importantly, presidential candidates and former presidential candidates running for re-election, looking to see where these policies are going to fall out. It seems as though during the course of this election season, they're having a tough job trying to figure out what direction this is headed in. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's very hard to decipher what, you know, broadly is being put forth in terms of practical or likely economic planks to these platforms. There is not an economic or other policy section of the Kamala Harris website. Now, tomorrow will be a month since President Biden dropped out. So, you know, they can be faulted for, you know, having to make moves that they didn't know they were going to make. And on the Republican platform, which essentially the Trump website points to the GOP platform, you know, the way that the number one issue of the economy is going to be dealt with, which is very Trumpian in the way that it's described, is we're going to defeat inflation. You know, and so that's what we're left with. And there are some policy planks in there, but doesn't really have anything to do with inflation or the causes of it. And, you know, if Newell Norman were running for president, I think one of the things that I would recommend you say would be, we will respect the independence of the Federal Reserve, whose job it is to actually respond to inflation and job market trends. So thinking about this, you know, before coming on today, you know, it's not a new concept, but, you know, in many ways we pick our presidents in this country a little like the way people chose the winner of American Idol, right? It's sort of like, who do I like the most, or who is it that I, which personality do I identify with? And that's the person who should go to Hollywood, or in this case, Pennsylvania Avenue. And that's, I wish that we had a more enlightened debate around issues of all kinds, and our bread and butter bank rate being personal finances and the economy, but so far it's pretty thin.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's a shame that that's the way it is, right? And you don't hear anything about, one thing we know for sure, when the government is spending money hand over fist, what is the national debt now? Somewhere north of $36 trillion, if my memory serves me correct?
Yeah, close enough for government work, let's put it that way.
Right, somewhere around there, and growing exponentially each and every day. Not a single mention of that. You know, it's and we know that contributes to inflation, right?
Yeah, of course, in the long term, not so much in the short term. Otherwise, if it were, then we'd have a much bigger problem on our hands at the moment than we currently right. do. But what it really does is crowd out federal spending just to pay for the cost of the debt. You know, wouldn't you rather have $1 trillion going to something else rather than essentially Uncle Sam's credit card? So, and the one that we're going to do some work on, I think, this fall at Bankrate will be around Social Security, because, as we know, the promised benefits of both Medicare and Social Security in particular are due to run out. In other words, they will not be fully funded within a decade. Haven't heard anything about that either, except everybody promises you'll get what's coming to you. I mean, you know, that sounds like my mom yelling at to me after school. You know, you're going to get what's coming to you. But, you know, how do we actually get there? You know, how do we defeat right. inflation? How do we get Social Security benefits that were promised? It's just, that's all you need to know. Don't make me pull this car over, right? That's all you need to know right. is we'll do it.
When you hear one of the things that drives me a little crazy, because no one has really truly defined it for me, and it's been kind of the mantra most recently of Vice President Harris, is corporate greed. And Joe Biden said the same thing repeatedly while he was campaigning. What is that? I mean, you've been in this game a long time. You know, what is corporate greed?
It's a subject that polls very well. And that's really all you need to know. And what I mean by that is, this is telling people what they want to hear. It is corporations are certainly, you know, primarily beholden to achieve, you know, their business goals, and for-profit entities need to create profit. Might there have been, you know, some reaching for price when everybody essentially had permission to raise prices? So on the margin, might there have been a little, you know, added in just for good measure or profitability? Sure. But you know, the opposite of corporate greed is corporate failure, and we've had that in this country too, and that's not a recipe for success. So, you know, the great strength of the American economy, you know, and it's the economy we have, it's not the economy that we are able to maybe have a lot of power in changing, is driven by capitalism. And that's not to say that that should be the be-all end-all. We need to have that so-called, you know, nirvana that will never actually occur of work-life balance and people being able to achieve their financial goals that we talk about all the time at Bankrate, which include paying down debt, having retirement savings, having emergency savings. And the last couple of years have been very tough with respect to those things for the bulk of the American population because of inflation. But in terms of back to your original question, you know, this is just so much of where our politics are right now. It is, you know, we're wearing either the Dems jersey or, you know, the Republican Party is split between Trump and traditional Republicans, much the same as perhaps centrist Democrats and progressives are separated on the other side. And so really it just gets into this sort of chanting for the home team that is at its extreme is nonsensical. And so there's a reason why Kamala Harris and even the president are no longer using that phrase that they thought would be a winning one, which was, or the word Bidenomics. There's a reason why they're not using that any longer, because if you're going to take credit for the economy, which, by the way, no president should really do because it's bigger than that, then what's the counter of that? Well, then you get to accept the blame when people are unhappy about it. And that's kind of where that worm has turned.
Yeah, you know, it's just it's kind of interesting the way that this plays itself out. And you're right, it polls well, but you know, as one of the most advanced economic systems in the world, right? And we talk about the strength of our economy. We didn't get there by being less than right? I mean,
yes, for sure.
You have to be. Yeah. You have to have more winners than losers, right? And we don't.
That's right.
We didn't
Right.
We didn't become creatures of the comfort of our lifestyle. When you travel abroad, and I've not done that extensively, but what little I have done, I immediately recognize that my quality of life is far greater than what the average person's life is like in almost every country that I visited. And, you know, we got there by creating profits, investors making money, willing to take on more risk, reinvest the dollars, able to, you know, the filing of patents and bring forward all kinds of new, great, incredible things that we enjoy that's made our life easier every day. But yet, any time that we find ourselves where price is an issue for us, an irritant for us, we're price gouging, and it's corporate greed. It's like,
yeah.
Well,
no, you're absolutely right.
We can't have it. Yeah. We can't have it both ways, right? I mean, yeah.
Well, here's what I think about ultimately trying to undermine this notion that, you know, everybody in corporations are quote unquote greedy, and particularly of late because of what the vice president's been talking about with respect to food. Please tell me the billionaire investor who's substantially exposed to the grocery store industry. Why isn't every investor gravitating toward the grocery business or even the food production business if that is such a ridiculously profitable trade? Have you heard Warren Buffett talking about it? Have the tech bros been jumping into those waters?
Nope.
The quick answer is no way, because typically the profit margins in the grocery store industry are as low as anywhere. It's roughly 1-3%. There has been, on an annual basis, there has been a bit of a surge in that in recent years. And that might be somewhat tangential to some of the things we're talking about. But again, you know, turn on CNBC or Fox Business or Bloomberg. That's not what they're talking about. They're not talking about how these stocks or these companies are succeeding wildly because they're taking money, you know, wrongly out of consumers' pockets. But, you know, what I believe Harris is communicating with respect to so-called price gouging is actually just sort of an alignment with existing state laws in some states across the country that are really meant to sort of combat rare events, such as something that you'd be familiar with in your neck of the woods,
hurricanes.
Such as something during a hurricane, right? And that, you know, yes, we have bad climate issues these days, but that's not really associated with the broader experience of inflation. I mean, there's some stuff going on with car insurance and home insurance, which is significant, but we're talking about food right now, and I just don't think we see the evidence of it.
And what's interesting is they forget about all the contributing factors, right? Insurance costs going up, oil and gas pricing, the difficulty,
labor,
yeah. You know, and things of that nature. So when you are increasing all of the base elements, they have a fiduciary obligation to respond to their stockholders who want to make money. That's the whole goal. The whole executive suite, the C-suite, that's all they're concerned about because that is their primary obligation. I mean, you know, it's amazing to me that we don't realize that we are the strongest economy in the world for that very reason.
I think so. I mean, I think it's also on the back of American workers and innovation and the ingenuity of American geniuses over time and the ingenuity of individuals who are just working hard. You know, how many times do I get in an Uber where there's somebody who came to this country, but it's almost all the time where they're saying, you know, I came to this country because there's opportunity. I love it here. It's much better than the country I had to leave that I miss. And that, those, you know, that's just one example of people who recognize the greatness of this country that does exist. And to your point about the sort of profitability piece, you know, here's one way that this can happen, for example, with grocery store companies, that consumers, myself included, when I do the grocery shopping every week, are paying attention to price. And they've been gravitating to places like Walmart, which is perceived to provide better value, you know, at a lower price, broadly speaking, at just one example. That's why they raise their outlook on earnings for the rest of the year, because they're doing more business. And people are turning to store brands because store brands, that can of beans that has the store label on it is priced at 79 cents as opposed to the one that has a familiar name on it that's 129. And so they're selling more of the things that they have a higher profit margin on. And that's meeting the consumer where they want to be. That is what smart businesses do that are facing the consumer, is they provide a solution or a product or service that consumers want. And in the early days of the pandemic, between the things that were done to help people to keep them, you know, food on the table, there were supply chain disruptions that we talked about a lot back then. Some of those mostly have been resolved. Some of them aren't quite fully resolved in the chip industry, but that's another thing. Anyway, it's ultimately, I think, oversimplification or even identifying issues that are purported to be problems but aren't actually problems at all. And what are we doing in the process? We're ignoring the actual issues that need real solutions.
You know, it's interesting as well. One of the talking points, again, and I don't mean to be picking on the vice president, but I just find some of what is being said a little disingenuous about creating a situation in an economy where you only have to work one job. Now, I don't know about you, Mark, but from high school through college till probably maybe 7 years ago, I have never had a time in my life where I only worked one job. You know, even when I was an elected official, I was teaching at a university or teaching here or doing that. Yeah. But I had multiple sources of income in order to make ends meet and to better provide for my family. I enjoy working, and I get satisfaction out of working. And going back to the Uber story, I'll never forget an Uber ride I had in Washington, D.C., a guy from Pakistan driving me. He's a CPA, has his own CPA firm, and he was driving an Uber. And his daughter was in medical school, and he said, I want her to graduate with no debt, and I can't do that as a CPA. It cannot be done. So I'm driving an Uber, and every nickel I make here, I'm paying off her medical school tuition.
Well, Labor Day is coming up, hard to believe. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, but we talk about it as though it's a negative thing. I think it's an incredibly positive thing about this country.
Well, it's nice to have the option, and it's nice that, you know, it's good when there's enough demand for workers that they can essentially choose like that. And and you know, you're to be commended for your accomplishment and your hard work over these many years as well. Well, I guess relatively speaking, I've been a slacker because I've mostly only had one job at a time over these many years.
Well, maybe you're the cause of that policy position for company.
There you go. Might as well blame me. We got to find somebody to blame. But no, I think, you know, again, I think in this case, it's telling people what they want to hear. And we're going to have a survey coming out before Labor Day that's going to get to this notion of, to some degree, worker unease, where a good number of people are planning to look for work, and with, you know, it's kind of the same thing we've been talking about for the last 4 years, but we'll have some updated figures on that if you want to talk about that at the time.
Absolutely, we certainly do. And Mark, I don't know if you saw that cartoon, but a friend of mine gave it to me, of two booths at a convention, one entitled Comforting Lies and one called Unpleasant Truths. And the line at the Comforting Lies booth was like, you know, 100 deep, and there's no one that wants to hear the unpleasant truths, right?
Yeah, you're right. That's good. I'd like to see that. That's a good one.
I'll send it to you. But thank you so much for joining us today. Mark Hamrick, Washington Bureau Chief and Senior Economic Analyst for Bankrate.com. Have a great week.
You too, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Folks, we've been talking about the electronic monitoring quite a bit in the juvenile arena. And during an interview with Helena Moreno, we found out that there was a situation where the city had received monies, somewhere around $4 million, to help facilitate ankle monitoring. And they had not done so. It's been sitting there for 2 years, since 2022 to the present time. Well, it turns out that there's a whole backstory to this, and kind of a little push and pull tug of war for reasons I'm not exactly sure. But Jill Dennis, director and owner of the Assured Supervision Accountability Program that actually is in the business of doing this, joins us to tell us about it. Jill, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, Jill, you guys obviously were aware of this $4 million fund set up by the mayor of New Orleans, LaToya Cantrell, back in 2022, because they actually came to you guys to try and create a situation with y'all to, you know, and to utilize some of this funding. Is that correct?
No, we really haven't been approached to actually assist with that, one of the things we always want to protect is making sure that there's transparency, accountability, and that we protect public safety. And we just have to make sure that happens regardless of a dollar amount. We won't turn our backs to that. I found out about the funding that they had available not too long ago, and to find out that they've had it for this long when we've been in such a crazy Wild Wild West GPS state in our city, where people are constantly being robbed and murdered by people on GPS, and they're not using the funding as it should be when they have a solution.
I must have misunderstood. I thought there was a gentleman by the last name of Weaver that visited with y'all when this fund was originally set up about taking some of this money. That did not occur.
Well, they talked about having it, but they never talked about actually setting up something to be accountable or responsible to our community.
Okay, I see. A little lost in the translation. So currently you guys have 400 enrolled in your program and at zero cost to the taxpayer. So for the benefit of the listening audience, how does that work?
Well, I mean, we've been yelling about standards in the city for years since Miss Portia Pilot got killed by Miss Andre, who was supposed to be on an ankle monitor. And we've been yelling from the rooftops that we need standards. We need to make sure that people that are being monitored are accurately being supervised, that the providers are actually reporting violations, that the judges and the court knows who's monitoring individuals. If you go back in our website, if you go back and listen to when we testified in front of City Hall, we told them setting standards doesn't cost the city anything. Let's just set some standards, and that way we can make sure that these people that are being released pretrial and post-conviction are being supervised adequately to protect our community.
So you're not surprised then by where the city finds itself at the present time. This money sitting in the bank, and nothing really proposed to be of any consequence here, and that we had a system that really was in place but wasn't being monitored, and we had people in places where they shouldn't have been, and we didn't even really know about it, right?
Well, we keep talking about money. And the things that need to happen in our city is not about the money. It is about making rules, making standards, making sure everyone is following those standards, making the offenders personally responsible for their release, making the judges responsible to those that they don't react when they get violation reports, making city council understand if they would just set rules, then people would have to follow those rules, which is why we wrote Post Bill 874, which is why we went to the state level, because we yelled at the city level. We testified in front. We've met with City Hall. We've met with the council people. We've told them that this is what we need to do, and nothing was being done. So we wrote a law and made it state law. However, I still don't feel like our community should have to wait until January to feel protected. I don't think that our city, our police departments need to wait until January to know who's out on the street wearing an ankle monitor and to know if they're committing new crimes or not. If they're in my program, NOPD knows if they're committing more crimes. All the way up to Lafayette, they know if people in our program are committing other crimes because of the way we run our and the standards that we've set. So the amount of money isn't what is needed. It's minds to come together and put something on paper and say, this is the way GPS works in our city. And if you don't do it this way, you can't be in our city. And that will save lives. That will save people's property. That will make people in our city safe.
Why the hesitation? I mean, it sounds like a win-win. If it's not going to cost the taxpayers any money, and we start an accountability stream for the privilege of being on this program, because it's a privilege, right? And if we view it that way, why the hesitation?
Well, I mean,
why is this so difficult?
At this point, I mean, the jails are overcrowded. There's nowhere to put people. And a digital jail is an answer if it's accountable, transparent, and if it protects public safety. that doesn't cost money. At this point in the city of New Orleans, it doesn't cost them anything. And the people that we are monitoring, if they recommit crimes, I can send you a letter we received from the FBI. I can send you reports where, because of proximity reporting, Tyree Quinn, the I-10 shooter, because of proximity reporting, that's how NOPD knows who was at that location and they know who committed that crime. That's what we need to do. And that the NOPD doesn't pay a dime for that service. We have set up a online registry that we're willing to offer to New Orleans and the state for online registry of everybody that's on ankle monitor. The Times-Picayune put out a information release to every jurisdiction in Louisiana, and only 8 of them could respond on who they even ordered on ankle monitor. The rest of the parishes either don't use ankle monitor or had no way of telling. They couldn't tell who was out on the streets with ankle monitors, and that is crazy. So an online registry, it's already set up. It's free to use. We just need to get using it. And now everyone will know who's out on ankle monitor. If law enforcement has a suspect, they can check. They'll know who's monitoring that person so that they can get access to that person's information so that we can get them picked up safely and efficiently and quickly so that there's no more victims. But
this sounds emblematic, though.
I have no idea.
And you don't need to comment on this, Jill, but I mean, this sounds emblematic, you know, of not giving a damn. I mean, it doesn't get any easier, right? I mean, you got the technology, you got the database to enter the data. If you give a damn and, you know, you want to make sure that your community's safe and you've got this tool and it's costing you nothing, by the way, other than you have to take a little time to enter some data into the system, this is like a no-brainer. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I mean, and the people that would make the decision wouldn't be the ones entering the data. They just have to make it a rule. The rule, right. The people that make the rules have to make it a rule. They have to take a stand. And they can't just continue to act like they don't have the power to do it, because they do.
Yeah, well, you got to care, you know, you got to want to know, right? I mean, you know, the problem is when these offenders violate on electronic monitoring, it requires people to go do something. And if you don't care, you don't want to do anything, right? But if you want to do something, you want to make a difference, you want to try and turn this person's life around. I mean, that's allegedly what is supposed to be going on in the juvenile arena. But it seems to me it's like anything other than that. They just want to babysit these offenders through their juvenile years and then get them into adult court. I used to always say that we should judge the effectiveness of the programs that we're running in the juvenile arena by looking at our juveniles 2 years post majority, once they reach a majority and they're in a penitentiary. We need to see where they are 2 years after they reach majority, and then we'll gain a better understanding of what's actually working and what's not working.
Well, see, my problem with all of this is the last time we did all of this, Miss Portia Pilate got killed. Then we did it again when Miss Rayburn got killed. Now we're doing it again because Miss Thibodeau got killed. And my question is, are we just doing this because someone got killed? And as soon as something else happens, we're just going to move on and nothing's going to happen. And that's my fear in this, because it's like you're winning a battle or fighting a battle you can't win.
Yeah.
And that's got to stop.
I mean, being reactionary as opposed to proactive on these issues, you're responding to a tragic consequence in our community, and all the talking heads start talking as though they're actually doing something. And I mean, in reality,
then the next murder happens and we realize they did nothing.
Mm-hmm. And we reelect these people. And we don't know very much about what's going on, especially in the juvenile court arena. And we reelect these people over and over and over again, and we expect that we're going to get something different. I mean, obviously, that's the definition of insanity. Try the same thing over and over again in the hope of achieving a different result. We're not getting a different result. It's time to move on.
We haven't overturned the bail reform from 2018, 2016, whatever year that was, that's when the iron carry, that's one of the reasons why we have this iron curtain blocking us from knowing what's going on in our juvenile court. It's not, and it's one thing to block it from the community, but when you also block it from your law enforcement agencies, that's crazy. How do you expect your law enforcement agencies to be able to keep their community safe if you put an iron curtain between them and the people that, or some of the people that are causing the problems and making the community unsafe? It doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't make sense to me at all either. And meanwhile, as you point out, it's not going to be till there's another high-profile murder that's written about or horrific or whatever makes it stick out, other than the fact that it's a murder, right? It is the only way that we end up talking about these things for a little bit of time, and then it goes away, and then everybody forgets about it until the next one.
And we still sitting here screaming from the rooftops, and because we couldn't, that's why we went to the state level, and we was actually able to do something. Now, granted, it does not come into effect until January. Now, we have met with D.A. Williams. We are working on an ordinance for the city of New Orleans, and we are assisting in that process. And I just pray that, again, this isn't all talk and nothing happens. I hope we actually see something moving. And where it is, it should be by mid-September. You know, that's a lot of time between now and then. And I don't know, for lack of a better word, when do they start to refer to Ms. Thibodeau's murder as old news and forget about it? And I'm just hoping that they don't.
No.
I'm hoping and I'm not saying we're going to stop all of it, but this didn't have to happen the way it did.
No, look, there's no 100% panacea solution to this, but you're not going to get, and you're not going to advance, and you're not going to improve without trying, right? You got to be in the game.
The ordinance is written. It's a good ordinance. It would help with what the problem we have in New Orleans. It would help. In fact, we have other states that are trying to say, hey, we want what Louisiana is doing, and we're leading the way in GPS, because it's across the country. It's not just in Louisiana. We have to take the first step.
On a text line, Groundhog Day in New Orleans government. True. We just keep talking about this over and over and over again from a different angle. But in the end, it's the same conversation over and over and over again. Jill Dennis, director and owner of Assured Supervision Accountability Program. Best of luck to you. I agree with you. We shouldn't be waiting for January. We need to do it now, sooner rather than later. And hopefully folks will start listening, quite frankly. It's not going to cost
them
anything.
Even if they just took the bill. Yeah, even if they just took the bill and made it an ordinance today to go into effect now. That's just really easy to do.
Yeah. And they can do that the courts can do that immediately. They have the authority to do so. The statute just requires them to do so. That's all that is. Jill Dennis, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
And thank you for continuing to bring attention to this challenge, for sure. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We'll be watching the Democratic National Convention this evening. They have a big lineup. I think former President Barack Obama will be speaking this evening. I think he is the top line for today's agenda, and we'll talk about that tomorrow as they continue to plow their way through the 4 days leading up to Vice President Kamala Harris's speech on Thursday evening, I believe is when it will occur. And then the campaign is off and running, and it's going to be interesting to see what will ultimately happen. You know, when we talked to Mark Hamrick, very well-respected and the economist world, about talking about policy and lack thereof, is quite interesting. And it makes it hard because investors and the like, they're looking for these telltale signs of where one's policy might take them and otherwise, because they're not just investing for today, they're investing for tomorrow, for 6 months out, a year, 3 years out. And that's what leads to the success of this country on so many different fronts, is people willing to risk their capital in ideas, in companies, in startups, and things of that nature. And that's why our economy is really as strong as it is. And on the one hand, both Democrats and Republicans criticizing business activities, business this, business that. And it's interesting because it's the same people that they're going to for campaign contributions. I mean, politics definitely has strange bedfellows, and it's hard to kind of figure all of this out sometimes. And sometimes it's just like, it's just too complex, too complicated. I really don't want to talk about it anymore, and I really don't want to think about it any longer. I've always said that local politics are more important to us. That's what really is going to move your quality of life more so than what's going to happen inside the D.C. Beltway. My life is not going to move one degree right or left as it relates to much of any of those issues that they're talking about one way or the other. Do I have my belief system? Yes. Does it run counter to it? On some occasions it does, and some occasions it just doesn't. So it's hard to stay excited about this, but obviously this flip from Joe Biden to Kamala Harris is something we may not ever see again in our lifetime. That's how unusual this is. So it's going to be interesting to see how this will all end. And we'll talk more about it, obviously, in the near future. All right, we'll be right back. We'll check in with Scoot, who's headed your way in just a moment. So stay with us. Welcome back. Scoot's in, and he joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, Evangelicals for Harris. They're running an ad questioning Trump as a false prophet. You know, we can't help but talk about that today. A new survey shows that younger generations are more likely than boomers to leave a job because of a bad boss. Never had a bad boss? Yeah, I've had some bad bosses. I've had some great bosses, like right now. But, you know, I have ultimately left a job because of a bad boss, but we'll talk about that. Not everybody has that option, but fortunately, a couple of times I did. Also, the ratings are in for the Paris Olympics, and anybody who was boycotting because of the opening ceremony didn't do a very good job. We'll tell you about that. Of course, we'll talk about the DNC opening night last night.
All righty, Scoot's up next, folks. Got a great lineup headed your way. Stay tuned. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Have a great evening. We'll see you again in the morning. Welcome back, folks. We'll be watching the Democratic National Convention this evening. They have a big lineup. I think former President Barack Obama will be speaking this evening. I think he is the top line for today's agenda, and we'll talk about that tomorrow as they continue to plow their way through the 4 days leading up to Vice President Kamala Harris's speech on Thursday evening, I believe is when it will occur. And then the campaign is off and running, and it's going to be interesting to see what will ultimately happen. You know, when we talk to Mark Hamrick, very well respected and the economist world, about talking about policy and lack thereof is quite interesting. And it makes it hard because investors and the like, they're looking for these telltale signs of where one's policy might take them and otherwise, because they're not just investing for today, they're investing for tomorrow, for 6 months out, a year, 3 years out. And that's what leads to the success of this country on so many different fronts, is people willing to risk their capital in ideas, in companies, in startups, and things of that nature. And that's why our economy is really as strong as it is. And on the one hand, both Democrats and Republicans criticizing business activities, business this, business that. And it's interesting because it's the same people that they're going to for campaign contributions. I mean, politics definitely has strange bedfellows, and it's hard to kind of figure all of this out sometimes. And sometimes it's just like, it's just too complex, too complicated. I really don't want to talk about it anymore, and I really don't want to think about it any longer. I've always said that local politics are more important to us. That's what really is going to move your quality of life more so than what's going to happen inside the D.C. Beltway. My life is not going to move one degree right or left as it relates to much of any of those issues that they're talking about one way or the other. Do I have my belief system? Yes. Does it run counter to it? On some occasions it does, and some occasions it just doesn't. So it's hard to stay excited about this, but obviously this flip from Joe Biden to Kamala Harris is something we may not ever see again in our lifetime. That's how unusual this is. So it's going to be interesting to see how this will all end. And we'll talk more about it, obviously, in the near future. All right, we'll be right back. We'll check in with Scoot, who's headed your way in just a moment. So stay with us. Welcome back. Scoot's in, and he joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, Evangelicals for Harris. They're running an ad questioning Trump as a false prophet. You know, we can't help but talk about that today. A new survey shows that younger generations are more likely than boomers to leave a job because of a bad boss. Never had a bad boss? Yeah, I've had some bad bosses. I've had some great bosses, like right now. But, you know, I have ultimately left a job because of a bad boss, but we'll talk about that. Not everybody has that option, but fortunately, a couple of times I did. Also, the ratings are in for the Paris Olympics, and anybody who was boycotting because of the opening ceremony didn't do a very good job. We'll tell you about that. Of course, we'll talk about the DNC opening night last night.
All righty, Scoot's up next, folks. Got a great lineup headed your way. Stay tuned. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Have a great evening. We'll see you again in the morning.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.